Good afternoon, everyone. Jim Lake here at Viking. Welcome to another episode of Tech Talks. I'm here with Caleb Case, senior
product specialist.
Senior product specialist. I can never get those heard between the seniors now and everything else. We're going to talk today about corrosion and sprinklers, answer some of your questions or answer some of the questions that Caleb gets a lot of, but also talk a little bit about kind of how we get to sprinklers that are corrosion resistant, where the whole thing came from, how it started, and some examples and where we might be going. So if you do have any questions, you can certainly type them in, and our crack team of directors and producers back there will read them off to us if you have them, and we can take them live right here. So basically what we're going to do today, Caleb, is we're going to discuss the various types of corrosion resistance. We're not going to get into corrosion itself. We're going to say corrosion exists, but we're going to get into this, you know, the types of corrosion resistant sprinklers and where they may be used. So we'll get into some of those examples as well. And then we're going to also outline the testing procedures, a brief outline, because actually in a couple of months, we're going to do a couple of episodes. We're going to do one with some guys from R&D and talk about exactly how sprinklers get their listing. But we're going to, you know, we'll look at that procedures for determining corrosion resistance and the required results and what we have to, what sprinklers actually have to go through to become corrosion resistant sprinklers. And then we're going to discuss some of the requirements for inspecting and maintaining sprinklers in corrosive environments. So to start with, let's go back into the history a little bit here, because you deal with NFPA 13 a lot.
Yeah.
I deal with it a lot, and have dealt with it in the past. And it's interesting to start to note where, you know, the overall, when it comes to corrosion resistant sprinklers, NFPA 13 is actually the place to start, because basically it says that, you know, a sprinkler that defines a corrosion resistant sprinkler as one that is a sprinkler that's fabricated with corrosion resistant material. Well, that can be lots of things. Now what's interesting about this particular definition is if we take a look at the history of corrosion resistance, it goes way back more than 80 years in the standard. We've seen back beyond the 1940 edition, we were seeing a reference to sprinklers that were going to be installed in certain locations that should have a corrosion, should be resistant to corrosion. But basically what we didn't have was a definition of a corrosion resistance, or we didn't even have the terminology corrosion resistance in the standard until the 1953 edition. And then this definition actually, you know, at least the initial definition, it's modified a few times, didn't show up until the 1980 edition. So it wasn't until the 1980s that we had this definition of what a corrosion resistant sprinkler was actually going to be and how it would get there, how it would come to be one. So the next thing then is the, you know, how does it come to be one is the UL or FM standards. Okay, each one of these particular standards, test standards or approvals guides have specific requirements.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's just explore some of these, because they're very similar. They're in the way that they approach these things. It's just kind of what they call them. So,
right.
You know, so let's talk a little bit about these tests. So all sprinklers every sprinkler that we manufacture goes through the 10-day.
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
So the 10-day corrosion test, it consists of three basic functions, right? So we have it in a salt spray exposure, moist hydrogen sulfide in air, and then carbon dioxide, sulfur dioxide mix in there. Now, if you go back into the rooms back there, the one room, the salt spray, you can go in. The other one, I wouldn't want to go in where all those chemicals are.
Sure.
But then that's all sprinklers. Now, additionally, now the sprinklers we're going to be talking about, the corrosion resistant one, if you want to get a corrosion resistance listing or approval, then you're going to be going with a 30-day corrosion resistance test or a corrosion test, I guess.
Yeah.
But it still consists of the same three basic tests. It just goes, you just send them out for 30 days. So we have the salt spray test, and then we have the other, two tests that indicate whether or not, now, you know, what we're looking for is structural stability and whether or not the sprinkler will operate.
Yep.
So the way that we look at that now is, you know, once they're done with this, they have to go through the plunge test and determine what their operation is. Now, you know, quick response sprinklers can't have any change in their operational time. It might be able to change slightly, but it has to be really close to its main operational time for an uncorroded sprinkler. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing goes for standard response. They've got a little bit more room to move, but they need to be right in the same time frame as an uncorroded sprinkler. So, all right. Well, let's talk about these that we have here. We've got some samples here. I know you brought along with you to the show here today. But so let's talk about this now. What is it about, you know, in this particular spectrum of corrosion resistance? Where do we start? Where's our baseline sprinkler?
Yep. So we're going to kind of start at the beginning. So we're going to start with brass sprinklers.
Mm-hmm.
We make sprinklers out of brass because brass is generally resistant to corrosion.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be, you know, the least resistant out of all the different coatings or platings and different materials that we offer.
Okay.
So we'll start with brass sprinklers.
All right. Let's start with brass sprinklers. We can see here on the side of the sprinkler here, we're gonna see a gauge keep going up, a bar gauge going up on its corrosion resistance. So we have the most minimal now. All right, the very basic brass sprinkler. And it's now, are all its components brass, or I mean, do we have components that are not brass in this? What are we looking at here?
They can vary a little bit. So you've got the brass frame, and mm-hmm. typically the deflector that attaches to the frame is usually brass.
Mm-hmm.
The pip cap that holds the glass bulb in this case is going to be copper.
Okay.
And then you have a Belleville spring that's coated with PTFE.
Oh, okay. All right. So, but primarily this is the baseline. This is the least resistant to any corrosion. This one's going to experience, this one's going to have the most corrosion basically when we put it through its tests.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Through a harsh environment.
All right. Now we have come up with, Viking has come up with a new platform, a new design. A couple of years ago,
yep.
We launched the XT1 frame, the smallest frame in the business. And but we made some changes here. Now it doesn't look the same as the others. Obviously, number one, it's smaller, but number two, it's got some new innovations in it that are actually designed to resist corrosion a little more. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. So still brass frame, mm-hmm. but now instead of having a bumpy frame, we've made it ultra smooth. That just helps the different coatings, the different platings to adhere to it.
Okay.
So you get a smoother finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you notice the deflector, it's no longer brass,
right?
So that's actually a stainless steel deflector there.
Okay.
So stainless steel is going to be one of our better materials that mm-hmm. we can use for corrosion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pip cap is a completely new design. So it's an anti-lodgment pip mm-hmm. cap made out of stainless steel as well.
Right. The T-hinge, that whole T-hinge operation there, right? Okay, wait. Can I do it? There it is. This thing right here. That's the pip cap. And there, and I'm going to point to the T-hinge.
The T-hinge, yeah.
There's the T-hinge.
Yeah.
That's the innovation. But the whole thing now is corrosion resistant, basically stainless steel, because that is the most corrosion resistant.
Yeah, as you notice, that little gauge there in green, it's going to rise
a little bit.
Stainless steel will be on the back end. That's kind of a spoiler, but we've got stainless steel on our standard brass sprinkler, and it's no more expensive than a regular small frame sprinkler.
So when we talk about, we're going to be talking a little bit later as we go up the spectrum here, we'll talk about poly-coated and things like that. Can these sprinklers have that as well? Do these sprinklers come with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So they have all of our 9 standard finishes on the XT1 frame.
Okay, great. All right, so the corrosion resistance gauge is going to go up a little bit on our next one, just a little bit, because we're going to move from brass to chrome. Again, really good looking sprinklers used in office spaces and things like that, where you want something to, you know, a little spiffier when you're in your architectural decor. But still, what's the characteristic here? We're not, have we changed much?
Nope, really, just a brass sprinkler underneath that gets a chrome plating on top mm-hmm. of it. So
all the components are the same then, or?
Yeah, yep, they are. So with this, this is going to be more of a small frame. So you've got a brass deflector with a brass frame and mm-hmm. a copper pip cap. Notice the pip cap's not coated, mm-hmm. But everything else is coated. Okay. So, I mean, it is purely decorative, right. But it does add an additional layer.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. All right. So let's move up the chain here then. Let's actually coat this with something now. Let's put the polyester on there and let's see what are we looking at now? Because it looks like the same sprinkler. Now, is this brass or is this is a standard brass sprinkler then?
Yep. So it's still a brass frame, but we're doing a polyester coating.
Okay.
Which is, you know, recognizes a more corrosion resistant type mm-hmm. finish.
So with all of this, then is you're moving up the gauge. Are we? So we're looking at the deflector, and we're not looking at the screw though, right? Or is the screw? Does the screw get coated as well? Or is the?
No, it doesn't actually.
Okay.
So, I have an example here in an XT1 sprinkler, mm-hmm. but yeah, that little pintle screw here holding the glass bulb, it's not coated.
Okay.
The deflector is on this XT1 sprinkler. It's a BK3021. The deflector is stainless steel, but it gets mm-hmm. a poly coating.
But it got a poly coating. Yep. Okay. Everything else did not. The pip cap didn't, and the yep. and the screw did.
So the pip cap's just stainless steel, and mm-hmm. the screw is brass.
And the waterway also is.
Not coated.
Right. Okay, that's important, because again, corrosion can happen with these in sprinklers. Corrosion happens internally and externally, but right. it, basically when you mix air and water and everything, it that's when you're going to get the and metal or steel. That's yep. when you're going to get the corrosion. But okay, so now we've moved up the chain a little bit here. We moved up the spectrum, we made it a little bit more corrosion resistant. Let's turn to this guy. This is an impressive looking sprinkler. I've always thought this one was really a cool looking sprinkler. The PTFE black, which is just Teflon, right? I mean, it's a Teflon coating.
Yep. So okay. It's a Teflon coating. We call it PTFE because Teflon's a trademark name mm-hmm. For DuPont. Mm-hmm. But it is PTFE. And one of the neat features on it is that now the pip cap's coated with this style of coating.
Okay. All right. What about the waterway?
The waterway is still not coated. You can kind of see the threads are still exposed, mm-hmm. indicating that, yeah, the waterway is not coated, but you get a little bit more corrosion resistant with the type of coating that it is, and that it is going to coat the pip cap.
Okay. All right. So these have been around a long time?
Yep. PTFE coating's been around quite a while. Kind of starting to phase it out. Okay. with an ENT coating.
Okay, which we're going to get to.
We'll talk about ENT, yep, ENT and its benefits.
And it's okay, but it's got but basically it's replacing
yep.
these. This is being phased out. We still carry it.
So on most of the sprinkler data sheets, you'll mm-hmm. find that we'll have ENT mm-hmm. or PTFE, because we're solely phasing out that PFT where we can mm-hmm. with an ENT finish.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So, but we've moved up the spectrum here a little bit on this one. Then, now we're going to get into this family of wax coating, and there's basically two types. There's
yep.
the wax coated. What's this wax coated? Just brass, plain
yeah.
old brass.
Yep. So there's really two types of wax that we offer, and it's mm-hmm. beeswax, but it's a wax over brass in this case,
mm-hmm.
Depending on the temperature. So this is a 155 ordinary sprinkler, so it's going to get a white wax. Mm-hmm. The higher temps get a brown wax, and kind of have an example here if you can kind of see it. Mm-hmm. But that's brass. It looks more like a brass sprinkler. That one kind of looks more like a white sprinkler, but sure. it is brass underneath. So you can kind of see the differences in the wax. This one has the yellow
Yeah, so, all right, so the wax coating also means a different temperature. Is that what you, is that, did I understand you correctly on that one?
Yep, so for the different temperatures that we offer different waxes because their melting points change.
Oh, okay, so that, your melting points change, that's a new one, so you, all right, because if you got higher temperatures, you basically got higher ambient temperatures, which is the reason you're putting in high temperature sprinklers anyway. And so you need to have a more durable wax.
Yep, correct, yeah, yep, absolutely.
So other challenges then with wax, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, wax would seem to be a really great solution.
Yeah.
But there's, but there are challenges that go along with that as well, so why don't you expand a little bit on that?
Right, so wax, wax is a great finish, it's been around for a long time. Some of the challenges are that you need a special wrench, so the wrench is actually gonna be a little wider because we're adding a thickness to the wrench boss. So we have to make sure that we have the special wrench. And then the other challenge is they have to be installed with care, so carefully installing them with the proper wrench so that we don't crack that wax around the wrench boss, because as soon as you crack that wax and if it flakes off, we're exposing that brass sprinkler to whatever harsh environment.
Yeah, you've really basically just negated the protection that the wax is giving.
Correct, yep. We do have a solution for it, so you could order 1 pound bars of wax to touch these up, but that's just another step in the process.
Right, another step. Yeah, I mean, in wax sprinklers, like you said, they've been around for a long time. You go back into standards, and wax coated has been there since back into the 40s.
Yep.
The recognition of this way of protecting, and along with warnings that say, only the manufacturer puts this stuff on. So it's just like everything else, if you want a new color, you want a different color, you want wax coating, you want anything, don't touch it. We'll, you know, just, the manufacturer is responsible.
Yep, we'll apply the coating, absolutely.
So that takes us to the next one then. So to kind of even put a belts and suspenders on this one, there's the wax coated poly.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about that one then.
So again, it's basically a brass sprinkler. We're putting a polyester coating on it and then we're dipping it in the wax.
Right.
So you get polyester and wax. So a little bit better corrosion resistance. If you crack that coating for the wax when installing it, well, at least you have the polyester coating there behind it to help back it up.
Okay. All right, we're getting further and further up the corrosion resistance curve here. Now we get to ENT. Now we're gonna double back a little bit with the PTFE. And this is the next step up. This was a continuation of that type of coating or that type of manufacturing of an ENT. So tell me about this electrolysis nickel Teflon.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's a lot, isn't it?
Yep.
That's why we just refer to it as ENT, but it's electrolysis nickel Teflon or PTFE.
I got it right.
It's just a special plating that's applied to a nickel plating that's applied without electricity. So it's a chemical reaction and it actually bonds and adheres to the sprinkler. It's a very hard, durable coating. It's scratch resistant.
Okay, so the Teflon isn't then? The Teflon coating wasn't, is it not scratch resistant or is it just not as, not
it's
as?
It's not as durable as the EMT.
Right.
And notice on our example there too that the pip cap's coated. But if you really notice, look at the threads. The threads are now coated.
The threads are coated too, so the waterway is. That's,
yep, so inside the sprinkler is actually, the waterway is coated as well.
Wow.
So we can get that corrosion resistant inside and out for your system.
Cool. All right, then the last one, the big, the top of all, most resistant to corrosion is obviously stainless steel.
Yep.
Now, let's describe this one because is everything stainless steel on this? Is that how this works?
Yeah, so NFPA talks about coatings,
mm-hmm.
well, like the wax coating or maybe a polyester. Plating, like ENT is more of a plating. This is a material. So we're looking at a fully stainless steel sprinkler. They're 316 stainless.
Right.
And I believe the pip cap is Minel, which is a type of stainless as well. So yeah, it's fully corrosion resistant material to make the sprinkler.
Wow, so that's, that's gotta, that is the most resistant then. Well, why wouldn't anybody use all, ever use these? And why would you use anything else? Well,
yeah,
we know that. It's a little, it is also a very expensive solution.
Yep, there's more cost to them. They fit a lot of applications, but they may not be perfect for every situation.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that's the family. That's the, and their corrosion resistance. Now let's take a look at a couple of other things that are associated with this. And we'll get into the dry sprinklers. Can we put corrosion resistance? Does corrosion resistance apply to all, to the entire thing? Or is it just two components put together that have this resistance? Or how do we actually get corrosion resistant sprinklers on dry sprinklers as dry sprinklers? What are we looking at there?
Yep, so our dry sprinklers we can offer in different corrosion resistant finishes. Mm-hmm. One of the most common for the majority of our sprinklers is polyester.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have that polyester coating. You can have it on the sleeve and skirt or the escutcheon.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are also available in ENT. Not every single one, but quite a few of them are offered in ENT as well, which mm-hmm. is that hard, durable coating.
Right. Well, what about the drop itself? Is the sprinkler is one thing. The sprinkler is going to be down in the corrosive environment, because drops are in two different environments. One, the sprinkler's in one, and the drop is in another. But if they're both, you know, how do we protect the drop? Or is there a special way of building this? Is it of a special material, or how do we protect the drop in any situation like that?
Yeah, and I'll try my hand at point.
There you go. You go.
So the drop right here, that's the barrel of the sprinkler for our dry barrel sprinkler, right?
Right.
It actually has a special coating to it. So we call it an E-coat, mm-hmm. but it's electro-deposited epoxy-based finish. So that is what we apply to a steel pipe to give it its corrosion resistance. Okay. So there is some corrosion properties to the drop as well. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So good. So we can be sure that if we've got one, you know, we're trying to protect against corrosion in one, we can get corrosion protection in both.
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay. Now the next thing is the last thing in this whole sprinkler family thing that we're exploring here is there's oftentimes more than just the sprinkler that's going into the corrosive environment. So we've got escutcheons and we've got cover plates. And so let's talk about these, because I'm guessing that as we go through these, that if we've got a corrosion, you know, issue that the sprinkler's dealing with, well, these are all component parts that are that sprinkler, some of them listed for it, you know, that need to go along with that sprinkler, right? I mean, so what are we looking at here?
Yeah, and one of the common questions I get is, okay, so I have an ENT coated sprinkler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about the escutcheon? Is that going to be just chrome?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can actually match the escutcheon to the finish of the sprinkler. So
okay.
We can ENT coat the escutcheon.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ENT coat our escutcheon, we're actually using a stainless steel based material. So we have stainless steel escutcheons to match your stainless steel sprinklers.
Mm-hmm.
We have ENT with stainless steel material to match the ENT sprinklers.
Okay. Jeez. All right. So we've got you. So basically we've got you covered.
We've got the whole assembly covered.
All the way through. All right. So moving on then, what I want to look at now, and we can also get into some of the questions that you get, because okay. This is where we're the next kind of step in this is, all right, so we've got this family of sprinklers, we've got all the component parts, everything is now corrosion resistant, we can at some level. The next question the next provision that comes up in NFPA 13 is it says corrosion resistant sprinklers. Listed corrosion resistant sprinklers shall be installed in locations where chemicals, moisture, or corrosive vapors sufficient to cause corrosion of sprinklers exist. Well, that's a pretty broad spectrum. That's that in and of itself is a pretty broad statement. The annex has in the past and does now give some guidance on that.
There's about 22 examples in the current edition, yeah.
But the problem is, some of them are, some of them actually date all the way back to the 40s. Pickling and vinegaring and things like that, that are just, they're interesting. Geez, where'd those come from? But the, but the point is that these are corrosive environments, and the standard has always given a little bit of guidance on that. But basically what it doesn't say is how much. It's, this isn't like light hazard, ordinary hazard, extra hazard. This is, and they're not even matching up one environment with, if you have this, you should use this type of sprinkler. So there's not that kind of guidance. It just says, you got it sufficient, corrosion resistant sprinklers should be used. Mm-hmm. Or actually it's in the standard itself, so shall be used. But again, there's no, it's up to the designer, it's up to the engineer to kind of come along and say, we're going to use this. Well, the challenge then is, what if they give us a call and say, well, what are your sprinklers good for? Yeah. You know, where do you recommend as a manufacturer, where do you stand on the use of sprinklers in certain areas?
Yeah, well, we get a lot of feedback, we get a lot of calls and questions from designers, architects, end users. So with getting those questions and kind of hearing their experiences, we kind of develop a feel or a base of knowledge of what's most commonly used, so we can offer some guidance.
Okay. So let's take a look at some of these spaces and what would we recommend in these spaces. So the first thing that we'll take a look at here is, you know, any kind of chemical baths that are, you know, industrial chemical baths that are out there.
Right.
And so when we look at something like this, there's very little doubt that this is creating a corrosive atmosphere to our sprinkler systems to exist in. The fumes that are coming off of it, the moisture that's coming off of it, this is all going to just a real challenge. So in places like this, where do we stand with recommending certain sprinklers, and why are they kind of the best ones to be using in these spaces?
All right. Absolutely. So ENT and stainless steel, right? Because they're going to be our more corrosion resistant type finishes, and they're going to completely coat or be the material of the sprinkler.
Okay, so everything,
They're going to provide the best protection. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so high challenge areas like that, if there's any question as to that atmosphere, then really we're going to recommend at least ENT.
Right.
And in some cases, and we'll come back to stainless steel a little bit later with a couple of other items. That might be best used. Mm-hmm. But all right, let's take a look at an indoor swimming pool. I mean, when it comes to indoor swimming pools, you know, we don't think of them, you know, as humans sitting in the pool and on a chaise lounge in the pool. We don't think about them as being corrosive environments. I mean, yeah, the chlorine burns your eyes a little bit when you get out, but that's, you know, the sprinklers themselves, you can see here, this is a sprinklered pool area. What's causing the corrosive environment here? Why is this such a specially corrosive environment here?
Yeah, so there's actually chemicals in the pool area. Mm-hmm. We use those chemicals to balance the pH with the chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the combination of those chemicals plus the chlorine that creates vapors.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you have moisture.
Right.
So you have this moist, wet environment with these different chemicals in it. So yeah, it's definitely an atmosphere where you would use a corrosion resistant type finish on sprinkler.
Okay, so we're just going to throw ENT and stainless in right here in this facility.
Right. So
probably not.
We actually don't suggest or recommend ENT.
Okay.
What's most commonly used, as you can see here, is a polyester finish.
Okay. So what's with ENT that we don't recommend that?
We haven't really fully evaluated it for the type of environment.
Mm-hmm.
Poly tends to hold up a little bit better with the chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, we've got a quick response sprinkler here. in the small frame, but if we select the VK3021 as a good example, that'll have that stainless steel T-hinge hip cap with the polyester coating. So
okay.
That would be a good base, I think, to start with.
All right.
Something that would be, you know, best suited for a chlorine pool environment. Okay. Now, if it was a salt pool, that changes.
Good call. Yeah, that's a, I hadn't even thought of that one. Yeah,
so I have had a few requests for, you know, salt pools.
Mm-hmm.
That's where an EMT finish would be most often used because it's great for those salty areas.
No kidding. All right. I hadn't even thought of that one before, yeah. the salt pool in internal. Now, and again, I'm going to throw a curveball here in this one because the only other type that I understand that I recognize as well, and this comes from my years is on doing competitive swimming, but there's bromine as well as another was another way of doing that. And I'm just going to throw a curveball out there because I'm sure it's like, no, Jim, I have no idea about bromine, but that was another way another type of chemical that was used at the time to clean, to do the work of chlorine.
Yep.
But who knows?
Yeah, there's a few other chemicals out there that I'm familiar with as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've actually looked at all of them.
Right.
Right.
We haven't. I mean, I'm sure it's manufactured, but it's interesting though, that it's not just, you're not just looking at indoor pools and saying, okay, no, we can't use this particular sprinkler, the ENT. No, no, pay attention to what it is, because if it's a salt pool,
yep,
certainly might be, you know, that could be an option back on the table.
Right, and sometimes the question I get is, can I use a concealed sprinkler in a pool
sure.
area?
Mm-hmm.
This is our VK4621. It's actually got a stainless steel cover plate
okay.
with an ENT coating.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ENT coating. So the answer there is no. Typically a semi-recessed sprinkler.
Uh-huh.
Just because we can only offer this in brass or ENT.
I see.
And not poly.
Okay. All righty. All right, next environment then we'll move to parking garages. Now, you know, outdoor environment, we'll return to the salt air a little bit too when we go further, but this is one where, you know, you look at the outside, you look at a open garage and you've got it's open to outside atmosphere. Now, a lot of times people focus on the fact of, okay, where is it located? Is it down near the ocean? Is it, you know, that is identified, but can a space that's not located necessarily near the ocean, let's say it's inland, you know, a little bit further. Is it corrosive environments here? You know, I've got an opinion on that. What's your opinion on sitting in a, you know, let's just say it's sitting here in Grand Rapids or it's sitting in Chicago or something like that. What are your thoughts on a corrosive environment here?
Yep, I would agree that yes, it is a corrosive environment. You've got car emissions,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting off different chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And those actually fit some of those 10-day and 30-day tests that we put the sprinklers through. So
uh-huh.
absolutely, that's really why we do those tests. Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, because like you said, you've got exhaust, you've got other pollutants in the air, you've got moisture in the air.
Sure.
Always. I mean, yep. you just walk out here in the middle of the summer and you got humidity
yep.
going here. Plus, rain creates moist air and everything else. So all of that creates this corrosive, if you will, environment. It just might not be as aggressive as, you know, based on its location, but clearly any outdoor environment is going to increase the possibility of there being, it's going to elevate the corrosiveness of the atmosphere.
Yep. And here you're just trapping the carbon monoxide and
right.
sulfur dioxide yep. that you see.
So here we have a parking garage, an open parking garage. We're going to return to this one too, but you're going to recommend a specific type of sprinkler with an ENT finish on this one. Should we go back to the picture and explain why, or you're going to be able to carry it through here? So we've got, just talk to us about what sure. you see here before we get into this, because you're very specific in
okay.
this one.
Yep. So notice the ceiling or the type of construction we
mm-hmm.
have here.
Yep.
It's concrete tees.
Concrete tees.
In this
tees.
Case,
yep.
we have double concrete tees.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing with the VK532 is it's an extended covered sprinkler
mm-hmm.
for ordinary hazard applications like a parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
Then it has an enhanced listing for spacing with concrete tees.
Okay.
So we can take advantage and actually space less sprinklers by extending the coverage area.
Okay.
And then the nice thing too is that the 532, the K532 is offered with that EMT coating. So it's got that corrosion resistant listing, so.
So it's all of those things in one. It's covering the type of construction, it's increasing the spacing, and it's got ENT. It's got the ENT coating.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Cool, that's a.
Makes it an easy choice.
Yeah, it does, okay. All right, now we'll go to my favorite picture. This is where I always want to be. But this is clearly a, you know, a challenge here. And this is one of those spaces that very clearly in the standard says, hey, you know, these spaces down in a saltwater environment, along the shoreline, along the coastline, are corrosive environments. And these are spaces that you're going to want to pay attention to. Now, the interesting thing with this particular picture is that you see that there are sprinklers on the balcony, which clearly are in the environment, or in that environment. But this has got a total window wall, you know, retractable wall. So everything in the space, everything in the house itself, in this apartment itself, would be part, you know, would have to recognize that it's part of this elevated area of exposure to corrosion or corrosion in corrosive environment.
Yeah.
So what are we recommending here? I mean, obviously, as a homeowner, I'm not going to want to put any of these guys, you know, an ENT coated anything in there. What are you going to recommend here?
Yeah, so I mean, ENT could be an option.
Sure.
Because it's great for those salty environments.
Mm-hmm.
But a white polyester finish sprinkler could be used too.
Okay.
So maybe something like white poly on the balcony in a semi recess discussion. So
yeah,
it's kind of somewhat tucked up,
right,
and not as noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely white polyester.
Yeah, especially in the residential.
With the matching discussion, right. Yep. But different for the indoor space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So indoor, the market's really going to conceal.
Yeah.
To where you don't notice that sprinkler.
Mm-hmm.
Which you could go with a ENT coated sprinkler with a stainless steel cover plate if that's kind of the look that you're going for.
Okay.
Plus you want a fully corrosion resistant sprinkler.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise they're just brass with a painted cover plate.
Okay.
But just kind of knowing the differences between ENT and a stainless steel concealed, mm-hmm, or regular brass with just a regular painted cover plate.
Okay. Good. All right, next one. I told you we'd be back around to that stainless steel one, and we're going to go right here because food processing plants. Now, people don't typically consider these to be, you know, would hope not be corrosive environments with food processing, but
right,
they may be. Plus, what we were talking about this earlier, what's the process that you were talking about, that might actually cause the corrosive environment?
Yep. So when they go to clean the space, mm-hmm, right, we're going to be using chemicals. We're going to wash it down. So kind of that wash down area, well, now we've introduced a possible harsh environment. So what type of sprinklers or coatings do we need to have?
Right. So the best one that we have, obviously the most resistant, is stainless steel, but this is a different type of stainless steel. So what's this got going for it in food processing that the other one doesn't? I mean, I'm noticing it right off the bat that it's got a fusible link.
Yep.
But why? What's so good about a fusible link in this environment that a glass bulb? Why can't we use a glass bulb?
Yep. So when we come across food facilities or storage,
mm-hmm,
we want to use a metal link instead of a glass bulb, because if that glass bulb shatters from activation, now we've got glass within that space.
Okay.
Here. With a fusible link, we've got a metal,
mm-hmm,
link,
yep,
so we can just go find it.
Go find the parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably two parts to it, and the pit cap.
Correct.
And you're pretty much done.
A lot better than a lot of little glass pieces.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so when you're getting these phone calls, or when you're getting these requests for information on this, on food processing, you're immediately thinking, your first thought is, okay, fusible element, and stainless steel.
Yep, because we're covering it with the material. So yeah, stainless steel, fusible link. This sprinkler happens to be the VK368 specifically. So we offer 8K and 5.6K stainless steel sprinklers. 5.6K line is glass bulbs. The 8K VK368 is the link.
Okay. Cool. That's great. Now we're going to move into a couple of different spaces. Now that you've installed the sprinkler, now that we've got it installed, NFPA 25 takes over and has some things to say about evaluating sprinklers and actually coming into bringing it into play. Okay, so we, in the process, we have a, if you follow the process through, we've got a sprinkler that is required, that's defined by NFPA 13, that's tested to FM or UL, that is then installed in accordance with NFPA 13 in a corrosive environment. Okay, so now we're there. So I've got this sprinkler, it's in a corrosive environment, it's approved for those, for that corrosive environment, but now it's got to live there.
Yep.
NFPA 25 now takes over and says, okay, that's great, but when you do inspections, and this is in the sprinkler inspection section of the chapter five, and this has been around for a while, we're going to see that it says corrosion that is detrimental to sprinkler performance. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. That's a hard one.
Yep.
Because one of the things that we've tried to do with NFPA 25, even since I was there, you know, had NFPA 25, had the committee back in 2011, was to write the standard so that there wasn't any need for judgment. You know, there wasn't necessarily judgment going on, judgment call. Mm-hmm. Well, leakage is leakage. It either is or it isn't. Right. So that's number one. Physical damage is physical damage. That's one or not. You know, you look at the other ones here, and then number two, and with it number five, but it's focusing on number two, corrosion detrimental to sprinkler performance. Well, how do I know that?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that you've had some phone calls with on this too. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, Caleb, what's the, you know, I've got this sprinkler here. Is it beyond operational? Is the corrosion detrimental to the sprinkler performance? Ever gotten one of those?
Yeah, absolutely. We get a few of those. So then we go ahead and, well, just send the pictures. We'll take a look at them, kind of offer some guidance there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and it can get pretty testy because you've got owners on one side, contractors and customers on the other saying, look, no, yes, no, yes. But there is a way actually through it. And the standard, it does help us out with that. In the annex of the material of this particular statement, this particular requirement, it does say sprinklers having limited corrosion or loading that does not impact water distribution characteristics. All right, now you're focusing on something. It's corrosion that does not impact water distribution characteristics. That's a very important statement to make. They can continue to be in place if samples are selected and tested by the worst case. Then we get down to the bottom one here, to the next sentence actually in this annex language, and it's surface discoloration that doesn't impact performance. Once again, this is in the annex, so it's not enforceable anyway, but it's just this guidance that says that doesn't impact performance. That should be able to be left in place without testing. Okay, sure.
Yep.
You know, as a former AHJ, as a former, you know, working at NFPA writing these things, and now on the manufacturer side going, oh my goodness, what am I, you know, I don't know what to tell people a lot of times with this. We've got to really be careful answering this from our side. And they need to be careful too, because there's a lot of judgment in here as to whether or not the corrosion or loading is going to impact water distribution.
Right.
So we got a couple of dirty pictures here that we're going to show. We can take a look at. We'll take a look at what that means. The first one is, this is a picture that was sent to us from Singapore. Actually, this is the sprinkler. So Singapore, island nation. Let's just say the entire place has, salt air environment.
Mm-hmm.
This is in a parking garage and it's 5 years old.
Yeah.
So let's evaluate this.
Yeah, the other thing too to know is behind that finish that was there, it was chrome with the chrome guard, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's a, it was a chrome sprinkler.
Yep.
With a chrome guard.
Right.
There you go. 5 years in.
Yep. And it's exposed to salty air.
So. Right. Exposed to the salty air. So it completely discolored. I'm guessing too, not, it's a little hard to see, but I'm guessing that that deflector is really clogged up as well. And so it's going to have an impact on everything as far as the operation. So that's not really one that needs to be pulled out and tested. That's one that needs to absolutely be replaced and everything with it. Let's go to this one, an ESFR sprinkler. Similar. It looks a little better. I mean, the diffusible element doesn't look too bad. The pit cap actually looks pretty good. But yeah, I think if we looked down at it from the top, we'd see that the deflector is really in bad shape. And those deflectors for ESFRs in particular, I mean, those develop very specific spray patterns designed with, you know, a center thrust and lots of large droplet, you know, large water droplets, very specific. And so you get into that and this is going to absolutely have an impact on that.
Yep. We really don't want to change the way that water gets distributed.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Now we're going to get a little bit closer to a little bit more difficult. Although there's quite a bit of corrosion on this one and on the pip cap itself. You know, I would say, yeah, this one too is probably going to need to be hauled out and replaced. Everything, but probably even without being tested. I don't even know if we would want to subject it to testing. We could. I mean, I suppose an owner could.
Yep. Yeah.
But an AHJ may or may not think, you know, we always got to remember that it's the authority that comes in and says, hey, we've got, you know, this particular sprinkler needs to be placed.
Right.
So, but now we get into this little bit into here. We got two, got one more after this, but this is a tough one. This is one where that's a copper pip cap.
Sure.
And that discoloration right there is simply what we call patina.
Sure.
And it's the discoloration of copper.
Right.
And it's the reason why the Statue of Liberty is green, because she's copper.
Yep.
The question is, what do you think? Is that going to be detrimental to sprinkler operation? Is that pip cap going to get stuck?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you could sample test it, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But is it just discoloration?
Right.
There's nothing else on the frame arm or the deflector. Right. So, I mean, if it operates,
right.
It operates, if it ever had to, in its current state, it'd be able to develop its spray pattern.
Yeah. Yeah, the rest of the sprinkler seems to be fine. It's a question of whether or not that pip cap is going to come out. And so this is one that actually would be really, really well informed to send a sample.
Sure.
And have it tested.
Yep.
And say, look, this amount, yes or no. So I think the AHJ is perfectly within their, you know, authority, obviously, to ask for it. I think an owner would want to make sure of it.
Sure.
It's but the, you know, the fact is, this is not an unusual occurrence here either. I think this was probably 5 or 6 years in as well when we received this, and the owner was kind of upset that they were being kind of gigged for this, and it's like, no, it's copper. It may happen. It depends on the chemicals in the water and in the atmosphere that it's in.
Yep.
So. Ultimately, this is probably one of those that is a good candidate for, look, just take your representative sample, get a test. If you're good, you're good. If not, then we know we got to go with something different
right.
when we replace it. The last one then is one that this is an interesting one, mainly because this goes to that last sentence that says, if it's just got some discoloration on it, and that discoloration doesn't look like it's going to impact the sprinkler at all, maybe we're okay with just leaving it alone. And this particular angle doesn't show the pip cap and the operational element, but there's nothing on the PIP cap or operational element. If you look at this green, it's literally just kind of dotted around the entire frame area. And, you know, this is one of those where it's an AHJ's call, but the standard is clearly saying, look, if it's probably okay.
Yeah, if it's just discoloration, which that's kind of what it looks like, it appears to be there.
Yeah. It's an interesting discoloration being green, but in the end, it didn't, an AHJ could look at that and say, yeah, you know what? I don't believe that's going to impact the spray pattern.
Sure.
Or the operation. So again, corrosion is a multifaceted topic to be looking at. What the standard says, the way they're tested, the way we manufacture them, the different ways we manufacture them, and how they need to be maintained and tested when they're in the environment. So with that, we've come around to our back to our learning outcomes here, or our discussion outcomes. Taylor, do we have any questions in this queue there that we might be able to answer here? There's a lot, you said? Okay, well, I'll tell you what, guys, you got one. Ooh, I shocked him. What's that? Do you have a listed corrosion atmosphere for each coating?
They're not going to, there's not like a specific listing to each atmosphere.
Right.
Again, they're just tested to the main three criteria for either the 10-day test, and then once we get into corrosion resistant sprinklers, the 30-day test. That's really all there is that that 30-day test to the three criteria.
Right. Those tests should be able to cover most extreme locations, I think, and that just goes to the fact that the atmospheres themselves are not specifically identified anywhere either. It's not like I said earlier, light hazard, ordinary hazard, extra. Here, you know, there's no matrix that says use this gear.
And so each atmosphere could have a different mixture of different chemicals or things going on within that space.
Yeah. But I think that the 30 day in particular, when you're doing that, that's a pretty extreme test.
Yep.
And when you're doing not only salt air, but you're doing the other two, you're covering a lot of bases with that one, with as far as extreme atmospheres.
Right. Yeah. And the salt test is like 7 times more stronger than what you would see in the natural environment.
Oh, okay.
They're pretty advanced tests.
All right. Great. Anything else, Taylor, you want to read to us, or? What about a room with water softening equipment in it? Lots of it, I'm guessing, in kind of commercial grade. What about that?
Yeah, I would suggest an ENT finish for that salty air.
Yeah.
Yep, it's got anti-adhesion properties, it's got that hard resistant coating, and it's going to fully coat that sprinkler. So ENT for salt.
For salt air, for the water treatment facilities there, the water softening. Okay, we got time for one more. Let's go with one more. You were talking about PTFE and the screw in a PTFE, which we don't have here.
Sure.
And what limitation? What corrosion limit would that cause? So
sure.
I guess the question is it, how much of it's coated? We talked about it being coated or not.
Right. So a polyester sprinkler, if I kind of step back a little bit, it's coating the deflector and the frame, so that screw is not coated, PIP cap's not coated.
Mm-hmm.
When we go into PTFE, the black PTFE, you're actually coating that screw, you're coating that PIP cap. So the outside surface is fully coated, except for the make-in of the sprinkler. It's hard to put a coating on threads.
Right.
And have it make in properly. So the sprinkler would be fully coated.
The sprinkler and the screw.
Just not the very threads where you make it in, and not the waterway.
Not the waterway. Okay. Great. Well, we got a bunch of more of those questions and we will be getting back to them. We'll post them right along with any answers that we have. We can probably post them on, we will post them on our customer learning portal along with these. Along with this episode when we post it on our customer learning portal. With that, next episode, gotta lean out of the way, protecting refrigerated spaces and freezer spaces. It'll be July 21st, and my guest will be Sean Kramer. We're going to be talking about protecting those spaces. So with that, in the meantime, feel free if you've got any technical questions. There's our contact information for Viking Tech Services. Any more information that you need on training, here's our contact information for training. Or you can just contact us in general with any specific questions, any general questions that you might have on Viking. So thank you for your time and attention here. And till August, we'll see you. Have a good summer. Or next month is July, actually. We'll see you in July 21st. Getting ahead of myself. So thanks for looking in.